Got a little bit of a ways to go today, so I thought about this huge intro and all sorts of fascinating historical facts, but I don't think you guys need all that stuff. So I just want to dive in this morning. We're going to finish up, or actually we're going to get real close to finishing up the ninth chapter of 1 Corinthians today. So go ahead and pull out your swords, open up your Bibles, turn on your phone, whatever that may be. And let's find your way to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And if you would, just drop on down to verse 24. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24. And if you found your way there, then together let's prepare our hearts to share in God's feast this morning. Lord, we ask that you will open up our eyes to your truth this morning. Father, I pray that you will clear out our ears of all the world's noise that we might hear your heart today. And Lord, after all of that, I still pray, Father, that you will soften ours. Lord, that you will make our hearts ready to receive. Lord, we want to do more than just hear your word today. We want to be changed by your word. So, Father, this morning, these are our requests to know you. Lord, to draw near to you. To be more and more like you. Lord, thank you that you are not only able to do these things, but that you, our Father, are willing. We pray them in your Son's name. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Hopefully you found your way there by now. Verse 24. Let's just kind of read through our passage together, and then we'll go back and start to see what the Holy Spirit has to share with us. Beginning in verse 24, though, Paul writes, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Therefore, run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last. But we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like a man running aimlessly. I do not fight like a man beating the air. No, I beat my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Now, I don't know for sure. You're going to have to forgive me. I'm just almost drawing horse already. I don't know for sure if Paul was a sports fan or not. But what I do know is that he draws a pretty masterful comparison here between our Christian walks and this amazing race that each of us have entered into. I think it's equally interesting that here we are today, only what, 2 weeks removed from the London Olympics, right? I mean, isn't this kind of amazing how God works and shapes and puts everything right where it belongs? Because a lot of us still have that stuff on our minds. You know, it was exciting to watch what was going on. And I think this morning it is no coincidence that the piece of scripture that we're studying is 1 Corinthians 9, 24, 27. I mean, that's not a coincidence at all. In fact, I've come to be under the opinion that coincidence is simply what unbelieving men call God incidents. You know, when God shows up, the unbelieving world likes to call that a coincidence. But I don't believe that. I believe that God has shaped our lives in intricate and incredible ways to hear His Word in intricate and incredible ways. The fact that we have just experienced the Olympics and now we're studying this passage, no coincidence. God was preparing our hearts to hear what He has to tell us today. So again, Paul writes, he says, "Do you not know that in a race, all the runners run, but only one gets the prize?" He says, run in such a way then as to get the prize. You know, the first thing we got to establish, I think, before we go any further, is that at the moment that each of us receive Jesus Christ into our hearts, we're entered into this incredible race. I mean, just the race of all time. The most amazing athletic race you'll ever imagine. Each of us gets that entry as soon as we accept Christ into our hearts. But it's interesting to me that from Paul's comments, it seems that not everyone runs the race the same way. In fact, it seems like a lot of people don't run it with intensity or with conviction. They're not running it to win. You know, I got to be honest with you, and I mean, let's just, you know, I'm not preaching to you at this moment. I'm talking to myself as well. But the truth is that the church today at large, maybe the church in Buckhead Ridge, we got a lot of bench warmers. You know, we got a lot of people who are okay sitting on the sidelines. Wallflowers. Let me tell you something. God didn't call you to be a bench warmer. Okay? God called you to run the race to win. See, too many Christians, at the moment that we accept Christ, and that's an incredibly important moment, but at that moment we say, well, I'm in the race, that must be good enough. That's all that really matters. I'm here. I made it. But if that was all that mattered, then why would Paul say so fervently, run to win? Only one runner gets the prize, so run this race to win it. Do you think about your Christian walk that way? Most of us don't. I usually don't. I usually think of it as, well, it happened years ago. But God calls us to be running today. The race is on. He's not calling you to warm the bench, brother. The Apostle Paul would say, if you're going to run it, then run it to win it. Run in such a way to get the prize. Run with all your heart to take hold of that crown. Now, of course, the logical question, I guess, for some of us who are perhaps right now, even you're thinking to yourself, well, Tim, that sounds great. I identify with what you're saying. But tell me this, what am I running for? Right? I mean, what's this great prize? Paul says, run for it. Well, what is it for? What am I racing for? I think that's a great question. I think each of us better know why we're on the track. You know, I mean, why are you running? Why has God called you to win? What is it that you're trying to win? And each of us in our own hearts need to consider that. Now, I can't tell you about your heart, but let me tell you about mine. For a lot of my life, I've been running for heaven. That's what I thought the prize was. That's what, when I made that decision to get in the race, as I looked down at the finish line, what I thought I was looking at was heaven. So, man, I'm running hard, trying to get there. And let me tell you something. Heaven, eternal life, it's an amazing prize. I mean, you know, I'm not going to give it back. You know, it's awesome. It's amazing. I had figured as a brand new believer, wow, I just escaped hell. So now I'm going to run as fast as I can towards heaven. I thought that was the prize that I should be seeking. You know, streets of gold. A reunion with my family and my friends. That's an amazing thing. It's a good prize. But it's not the best. As good as heaven is, it's not the best. See, what I've started to realize only recently, I think, really, is that I've been running for a what, but God calls me to run for a who. See, my prize is not a what. It's a who. I'm racing for something better than streets of gold. I mean, you know, as awesome as that is, I'm racing for something even better. I'm racing for nail-pierced hands. This morning, I can tell you clearly that, you know, I'm racing for something more than that reunion. I'm racing to hear those words, well done. As I think about heaven, you know, it's easy to think why many of us run for it so hard. I mean, think about what you're going to do. It's going to be awesome. Again, please, I'm not trying to downplay it. I just want you to see that as good as it is, there's something better. But think about heaven for a minute. I mean, I can't wait to get there and to meet someone like Noah. I mean, I got all kinds of questions. You know, tell me about the ark. I can't wait to sit down with Moses and hear about walking through the Red Sea. To meet King David. To hear about that battle with Goliath. To just take a stroll with the Apostle Paul. I mean, these are all things that I've got on my to-do list. These are all people that I want to meet. I can't wait to get to heaven and sing with Floyd. Amen? I can't wait to get to heaven and laugh with Dee. What an awesome day. What an incredible thing. But you know, all of those reunions, all of those incredible meetings, they're going to have to wait. Because at the top of my list isn't any of those people. At the top of my list is a carpenter from Nazareth. You hear me? At the top of my list, what I'm racing for, the number one prize in my life, is Jesus Christ. More than heaven, more than the streets of gold, more than all that will come with an eternity. It's the who. It's Jesus. He is the great prize. He is what we are called to run so, so hard for. Let me tell you something. For that prize, I will run until my legs fall off and my heart bursts in my chest. I will run with everything I've got for that prize. What about you? You willing to run for that prize? Does it seem like it might be worth it? I have to warn you, or I guess let you know, that that particular race is an invitation-only event. I am sorry to tell you that there are no tryouts for that race. You can't win your way in. Doesn't matter how much money you got, you can't buy tickets to it. You have to be invited. But I do want you to take heart, because today, the fact that you're here tells me something. It tells me that your invitation has arrived. It tells me that today it's just waiting to be opened. Now, some might be sitting here thinking to themselves, not for me, Tim. You better check the address on that. No, not for me, Tim. You don't know what I've done. You better send that back. It must be a mistake. Tim, you don't know where I've been. I'm happy for all of you church people. But if you knew anything about me, Tim, you know that invitation isn't for me. And I love you enough to tell you that you're absolutely wrong. And I'm going to prove it to you. I'm going to tell you a real quick story. It's a true story about a guy lived a couple thousand years ago named Saul. And I'm going to tell you something. This guy Saul, boy, you're going to talk about bad news. I mean, this guy Saul was a vicious man, a vicious persecutor, persecuted God's children, persecuted the church. He hunted them down. Saul had no problem busting into your house and tearing out dad or taking mom to jail. No problem. No qualms with it at all. He hunted down Christians and absolutely was a living terror to the people of God. This guy was so bad, he not only endorsed killing them, but he held the coats while the people did it. What a nightmare this guy Saul was. But then one day, not a whole lot different than today, this guy Saul got an invitation. I mean, can you imagine? In fact, it was so amazing, it literally floored the guy. He was knocked down by the fact that God would send him an invitation. And on faith, and faith alone, he popped that thing open. He took a peek. And at that moment, guess what? At that moment, the Lord Jesus gave that man a new name. At that very moment, maybe even more important than the name, he gave him a new heart. Saul became Paul. And the man who had terrorized the church would go on to become the greatest missionary the church would ever know. I mean, how amazing is that? You sit here saying, Tim, but that's just a Bible story. I'm really a bad person. Well, I'm going to tell you, it's more than a Bible story. It's the truth. And I'm kind of excited, because if you're really that much worse than Paul, and God could do that with him, man, I'm really excited about what he's going to do with you. You received an invitation. You're here today. You're hearing the Word of God. Let me tell you something. There's no exception. God has invited you. Now, before you give the enemy a chance to whisper in your ear all the reasons why not, can I just beat him to the punch? Can I just take away his sting here? He's right. There is no reason in all of the earth that God should invite you? There's no reason in all the heavens why you should possibly warrant an invitation. No reason. But one. Grace. God's unbelievable, undeserved, God's beautiful grace. That's the only reason you got it, brother. You don't deserve it, sister, but by God's grace, He sent it. Grace. And you know, it's no wonder we call it amazing, right? What an amazing thing. Now, while you sit there and consider whether or not you're going to accept this incredible invitation, let me just share with you some words from the persecutor Saul I was telling you about earlier, who became Paul, the champion of Jesus Christ. Just hear these words. Paul wrote and said, "There's one thing I do." Speaking to people just like me and you, people who weren't sure about that invitation. "There's one thing I do. Forgetting what is behind and straining forward toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." You're not sure about that invitation? Paul says, "I forget what's behind me. I didn't deserve it, and neither do you." Friend, you didn't get an invitation today because of your past. You got an invitation today despite your past. You didn't get an invitation today because of all the incredible things that you've done. You got an invitation despite all the things that you've done. You were invited into the free gift of God's grace. Open it up. Open it up. Enter that race. You know, but put on, lace up the shoes and step on the starting blocks. Get ready to run. Paul writes, remember he says, do you not know that in the race all runners run? Back to Corinthians. But only one gets the prize. Run in such a way then as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Anybody here get a chance to watch the Olympics at all? Okay, the rest of you are living under rocks. Okay, listen, I don't have cable either. I watched it all rewind. One thing I did get a chance to see, though, I was having lunch out of town, and I got a chance to sit down for just a moment, and I thought it was kind of an interesting thing that I saw. And maybe you saw it. It was in the consolation finals of the women's beach volleyball. Did you see this? China versus Brazil. And one thing they talked about was the training regiment that the Chinese volleyball players were in. I thought this was amazing stuff. Okay? But did you know, and one of these girls in particular, her name was Chen Yu. All right? She was selected for the Chinese volleyball team at the age of 14. And from that point on, she spent 5 hours a day, 6 days a week, for 50 weeks out of the year, training for that one moment. Training for the Olympics. 100% devoted, that's what she did. Then when she arrived, by the time she arrived in London, they said that this young girl had spent 12,500 hours in training. She had spent nearly 8.5 years of her life enveloped in commitment and discipline and the training necessary to compete at the London Olympics. And all of that training, nearly 9 years, all of that was for what? It was for the chance to win a little bitty piece of metal. 9 years of her life she spent training, committed, and disciplined for the chance to win a little small piece of gold. A piece of gold that, let's just be honest, in a few months nobody will even remember. Paul said, everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training, but they do it to get a crown that will not last. Listen, I'm not here to take away from what those Olympic athletes do and their commitment to their sports, I think it's incredible. But I do wonder this, if they train so hard for something that will not last, how hard should you and I train for something that will endure forever? Chin Yu trained for 5 hours a day. Anybody here want to be painfully honest with me and tell me that, hey, I struggle putting 15 minutes a day in? Chin Yu trained for 6 days a week, for 50 weeks out of the year. We think we've accomplished something when we dedicate a couple hours 2 days a week. We think we got this thing licked. That young woman gave up 9 years of her life in the hopes of winning a small gold medal. Do you know what you and I are going to call that gold medal when we get to heaven? Pavement. Friend, we've got streets of gold that are going to be laid out before us. So I'm here just wondering again, why is it that she was able to train so hard and be so committed for something that will not last? And here we are promised incredible, enduring victory and enduring reward. And we can't bring ourselves to train. We can't bring ourselves to be disciplined. Why don't we train as hard as Chin Yu? Why don't we train harder? I think it's because we're satisfied just being in the race. I think we opened up the invitation, it blew us away, that was an awesome day, but now I'm just satisfied to be here. I don't really have to run that hard, Tim. I know that everybody's going to get there. I'm satisfied. But I wonder something, is that the example that we're given? I mean, if you open up this book and you find a whole bunch of men of God who they're just satisfied and God says, hey, that's cool, then just be satisfied. But if you happen to open up this book, you might come across what Paul wrote to Timothy at the end of his life. You might come to that portion of Scripture somewhere around 2 Timothy 4, 7 and 8, where Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. Wasn't satisfied just to be in it. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. And now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. That doesn't sound to me like somebody who's just content being there. I mean, I got the picture this morning and it kind of made me laugh, and it probably won't make any sense to you guys. But I kind of got that picture of the Olympic track and those incredible athletes. And did you see the one where Usain Bolt was kind of cruising past the finish line and he knew he had everybody beat? I mean, he's just kind of cruising, you know, just kind of looking back. You don't even know how fast the guy was because he led up at the end. Well, you better not do that if Paul's in the race, because Paul would be a madman, you know, and he would cruise right on by him. Because Paul said, I'm not willing just to be here. I'm not willing to play second. I'm here to win. I want to run this race hard. And at the end of Paul's life, he said, I did it. I fought the good fight. I ran the race and I kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4, 7, 8. And that's your pastor's life verse. You might say that seems like a weird life verse. It's about the end of your life. It is kind of weird, I guess. Except for I'm under the conviction that God is not overly concerned with how you start the walk, how you start the race, but He is really, really interested with how you finish it. That's what I want to be able to say. One of you guys happened to make it to my funeral. I hope that's said about me. That he fought the good fight, that he ran the race, that he kept the faith. God's concerned with how we finish. And brother, you cannot finish strong if you're not running to win. Sister, you will not finish strong if you're not committed to training. Now, next week, Coach Paul is going to give us some tips on training. We're going to go through those a little bit at the end of 9 and into 10. But this week, I think this morning, I think there's two things that we were brought here today for. It's been about two things. The first one is a choice. And the fact that we're talking about choice tells me that somebody here needs to make a choice. Maybe some people here need to make a choice. That choice is to receive that invitation. It just showed up, friend. It's sitting right in front of you right now. What are you going to do with it? It's a choice to step up to that starting line. You ever see the athletes when they get there and they get in the blocks? What's that? That moment of anticipation. That's the moment you need to be at right now, where every muscle, every part of who you are is ready to go. Some of us need to make that choice. It's a choice this morning to be willing to run the only race in all of eternity that really matters. The race towards Jesus Christ. Make that choice today. Run that race. For others this morning, I think you're here because there's a change that needs to occur. See, you've become one of those individuals who's okay with catching a knee on the track. You know? You've become one of those individuals that's okay with just taking a break. You've been okay with watching other people run. Well, they're running, that must be good enough. Now, I don't doubt that at some point in your life you were running hard, but more than likely at some place along that path, some type of circumstance has jumped up. You've hit your wall, so to speak. Your runner's wall was some circumstance. For some of you, you started cramping up because of fear and doubt in your life. And eventually it got so heavy on you that you just stopped running altogether. You found your nice little green chair and now you're hanging out. Friend, you're not called to hang out. You're not called to be a bench warmer. You're called to run. Man, you're called to run and run to win. And today, the Holy Spirit wants to remind you that as long as you're breathing, guess what? The race ain't over yet. Maybe you've been sitting down for a while. Maybe you've been catching a knee, watching everybody else run by. But if you're still here, okay, and right now you're all here, right? Okay. The race ain't over yet. It's still on. It's time to get back in it. It's time to run hard. Remember, it's not about how you started. Celebrate how you started, but that's not the important part. The important part is how you finish. This morning, some of us need to ask God to change us. I can't do it. You can't do it. But the Holy Spirit's here. He's ready to put some new shoes on you and get you back out on that track and get you running. Some of us need to make that choice today. Ask for a change in our hearts. Receive the invitation and run to win. That's why you're here on Tropical Storm Isaac Day. What will you do with that? I don't know. Let's pray. God, I thank you this morning for the invitation. Lord, I thank you that you extend to us the most incredible invitation the world and all of creation will ever know. And you don't do it because we deserve it or because of what we've done in our past. Lord, we absolutely don't deserve it, and you send it anyways. Father, I thank you for it. Lord, right now, I pray for that individual who their hands are shaking and their palms are sweaty. And Lord, they're holding that invitation, they're looking down on it, and they can't hardly believe that it has their name on it. Lord, right now, I ask that your Holy Spirit will give that person faith, will give those people the courage to tear that thing open, to look inside, Lord, and at that moment, that you will give them the heart that cries out, Lord, I choose you. Father, I want to be born again. Lord, I want new life. Father, I want to run the rest of my life chasing after you. And Lord, I'm not willing to take a knee. I'm in it to win it, Lord. Father, give us that kind of faith. Please. Father, some of us, we've entered the race, but Lord, we have to ask your forgiveness because we've been taking a break. We've been running halfway, or we might have even just decided to quit. Lord, you don't call us. Lord, you know nothing of quit. Lord, you are victory. And you've called your sons and your daughters to that same victory. Holy Spirit, we ask that you will pick us back up. Or we ask that you will set us back on that race. Lord, however much time you have given us to still remain here, Father, we ask that you will let us run with all of our heart, with all of our strength, with all of our mind after you. Lord, we pray back to you now the same words. We pray your heart now back to you. And Lord, we choose to forget what is behind, and instead we will strain forward toward what is ahead. Lord, we will press on toward the goal to win the prize for which you have called us. And Lord, the only prize that's worth winning, Lord, the only prize that we could possibly value is your Son. And Lord, we will strain and we will run until our lungs burst for your Son. Holy Spirit, change us. Make us a church that is no longer content with sitting on the bench. Lord, give us not only the will, but the ability to run this great race. Father, we will give you praise. Lord, we will give you honor. For you are worthy of both. Lord, I thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for this incredibly bad weather. Because today, this has been part of your plan. Today, you have brought us here to hear these choices, to make these changes. So, Father, thank you. And Lord, we love you. We love you because you first loved us.